Welcome to Nelson and your audio guide to the Waterfront Art Walk. We will refer to the site numbers on the Waterfront Art Walk map and landmarks along the way. Download your map from www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz. This walk is one of a series of arts and heritage walks developed by the Nelson City Council. Much of the information comes from either the artists themselves or from those who have commissioned the art. Wakefield Quay has become the home to a collection of varied and exciting artworks that enhance the magnificent setting overlooking Nelson's sheltered harbour. To add to the enjoyment of this walk, you may be tempted by a range of food and drink outlets that offer some delicious temptations. Or take your fishing line and relax on the pier. Our walk starts at the Information Centre in Miller's Acre. It is a 20-minute brisk walk on the flat from the Information Centre to Wakefield Quay. Follow Halifax Street to the roundabout where it meets State Highway 6 and continue along the pavement in the direction of Tahunanui Beach until you reach Wakefield Quay. Or, alternatively, you could catch a bus from Wakatu Square on the Tahuna route and ask to stop at Wakefield Quay. There are two bus stops as marked on our map. Two attractive heritage buildings, the Custom House and the Anchor Foundry, mark the start of the Wakefield Quay precinct. Cross the brick paving and walk towards the sea. The early settler sculpture, number one on your map, depicts a young migrant family arriving in Nelson around 1842 and is sited where the original landing places of Māori and early settlers occurred. The man, his wife and daughter stand facing their new life ahead with some of the basic necessities they would need in the new colony. Tools to work the soil and grow the seeds that they would have brought with them. The Nelson Provincial Museum in the city centre can offer some excellent insights into what life was like for those first European settlers and their impact on the existing Māori settlements in the area, with their range of interesting displays. English artist Anthony Stones, famous for his works in bronze, was commissioned by the Nelson 2000 Trust to create this piece. It was largely funded by generous donations from the Bagent and Goodman families. Stones has created a number of bronzes across New Zealand, mainly of famous people, such as Captain James Cook and Abel Tasman. He is known for his research and meticulous attention to detail, such as here, with the travelling attire and belongings of the trio. His work can be found in public and private collections worldwide, including Te Papa, who commissioned the publicly acclaimed Seven Statues of Pacific Explorers. The statue is adjacent to the Early Settlers Memorial Wall, which is number two on your map. This is also a Nelson 2000 Trust project, conceived as a way of recognising the pioneers who built Nelson as we know it today. Along the edge to the pier, at a convenient reading height, large panels of engraved granite tell an interesting story. At the left-hand end of the memorial, there is an overview of Māori and European settlement in the area. To the right are the details of the sailing ships that arrived in Nelson from 1841 to 1850, and each has an entertaining little commentary. They start with the Willwatch and the Whitby, which carried the advance settlement party of the New Zealand Company under the leadership of Captain Arthur Wakefield in 1841. The Fifeshire, in 1842, carried many notable people whose descendants still reside here, such as the descendants of John Kerr, who ploughed the first furrow in Nelson. The Fifeshire unfortunately foundered, departing from the harbour, on the rock that now bears its name. In the nearby garden, a golden wooden globe of carved and embellished totara sits atop a pillar of Australian hardwood. The Navigator, number 3 on your map, is by artist Tim Raitt. The work was commissioned by Cliff and Anne Nighy and gifted to the city. The idea behind the work was to reflect the different aspects relating to navigation and travel to Nelson from other parts of the globe, by Maori, European settlers, and the modern maritime industry. The globe at the apex has rings of stars used for Maori navigation. The reference to compasses ties with early European navigation. And the globe is also the shape of satellites, vital for the global positioning used in modern navigation. The supporting post has representations of harakeke flax rope for Maori waka, hemp rope for European sailing vessels, and steel chain for modern vessels. The overall form of the work is that of an abstracted human shape, to refer to the peoples involved in navigation to and from Nelson. Tim Raitt is a New Zealand artist specialising in wood sculpture. Tim's training in the art of wood carving has included 8 years working with traditional Māori woodcarver John Mutu at Te Āwhina Marae in Motueka. Tim feels that that period, spent fully immersed in the culture and context which surrounds the art form, has influenced and informed his work right across the different areas of his practice. He has completed a number of significant public and privately commissioned works in both New Zealand and overseas. Walk towards the Sea Lord Search and Rescue Building and the ramp beside it, and look up to the roof of the building. Nick Shannon's whimsical lighthouse weather vane, number 4 on your map, sits atop the Sea Lord Search and Rescue Centre. Nick was chosen by Sea Lord to create the artwork, as at the time he was developing systems for making wind vanes, which are delicately balanced to respond to a light breeze, yet durable enough to withstand a vigorous wind. Nick Shannon's art skills resulted in a contextual piece that is charming as well as functional. It celebrates the lighthouse, which is seen across the haven at this point, as it stands firm on that wonderful phenomenon, the boulder bank. Cross the search and rescue launching ramp to the adjacent seating area. Jim Mackay preferred to leave his sculpture, number 5 on your map, unnamed to allow people to choose what they saw in it. Mackay is a contemporary Nelson artist, producing highly sought-after works in cast glass and also glass sculptures. When Cliff and Anne Nighy commissioned this work to gift to the city, they first worked with the artist on a design for glass. However, it was soon agreed that Corten steel would be more suitable for the site. Corten is the same material as the hulls of commercial ships coming into the harbour and the containers on them. It is also known as weathering steel and consists of a group of steel alloys which were developed to obviate the need for painting. Corten develops a stable, rust-like appearance when exposed to the air. This piece has an enduring beauty and is oxidised to a rich, deep orange. Jim Mackay said he enjoyed working with such a resilient and compliant material and felt that the forms created and the materials used are responsive to the site, but also to the larger context of this island nature. He wanted to be suggestive, but definitely not prescriptive, and hoped to welcome interpretation. On a personal level, he lived on the waterfront near this site when his son Lloyd was born at home there in January 2000. The larger container ships entering or leaving the harbour left a lasting impression as they would entirely fill his front windows, creating the disconcerting sensation that the house was moving. Mackay also created glass components at two sites here on Wakefield Quay. These are the art glass blocks and the seats, which have been engraved by Patrick Day, as an acknowledgement for donors who gifted seats and tables all along the area of the waterfront. The blue glass atop concrete columns nearby are also Mackay's work. At the start and to the left of the boardwalk, see the charming spy hole, number 6 on your map, created by Daryl Frost, who is well known in Nelson for his stainless steel art, which greets visitors at the Nelson Airport. The hand-forged steel, gate-like structure focuses the viewer's eyes on the water between the path and the road. At night, a magical effect is created, with lights reflected on the water when the tide comes in. Commissioned by the council, it is a good example of council's policy to weave art into functional items where possible in new developments. This work doubles as a necessary barrier to the drop from the wharf. Frost first qualified as a builder, then got into art in the 1980s. Best known for his ceramic work, which he started to produce after completing advanced training in craft and design in 1989, he has more recently done some outstanding work in steel. He works from his Nelson studio and supports himself full-time as an artist. Directly ahead is a giant mural on the side of a large building. Christopher Finlayson said of his mural, Aotearoa, which is number 7 on your map, "Whatever I painted here on the edge of land and sea, I wanted to stand as a portal of softer human expression within the context of a hard-edged, often unforgiving, artificial urban environment." This talented artist is one of New Zealand's leading mural artists, and over the past 30 years, he has completed over 300 outdoor art projects throughout New Zealand. In recent years, he has been working with community groups in Marlborough, Nelson, and in Golden Bay, where he lives. Using many coats of a commercial acrylic latex paint, he has created a number of popular and striking local works. They include The Urban Jungle, a mural at the top of Trafalgar Street, the Peace Collective mural on Tuhunanui Drive, and the Knowledge mural, which graces the entrance of Nelson Library in Halifax Street. His latest mural, Ko Ngā Tangata, at Victory Square, won the Best Professional Mural and the 2010 Resene Mural Masterpiece National Awards. He created this iconic work, Aotearoa, in 1984 on the side of a heritage building which once housed the electricity generating plant, providing power to Nelson Central City, which was built in 1922. The mural combines an arrangement of windows, cloud, hand carving, and familiar scenery to bring qualities of mythology, human creativity, and natural phenomena into the present. The motif along the top is derived from a Stairway to Heaven pattern, inspired by the carved ornamental panels found in Meeting House on Marae throughout New Zealand. Finlayson is also known for encouraging the community to be part of the painting process so that they feel ownership of the local landmarks created. When he refurbished Aotearoa in 2009, he had 28 willing helpers helping block in the giant work. The building tenants, Crop and Food, generously funded this refurbishment. Stay on the pavement and go past the Crop and Food building. To your right, see a parking area with the Sunderland Pier extending out into the sea. Grant Palliser's imposing bronze, the Seafarers Memorial, which is number 8 on your map, was commissioned by the New Zealand fishing industry to be a memorial to lost seafaring men who led a life at the whim of the sea. Nelson is one of the largest fishing ports in the Southern Hemisphere, and many local men and women are employed in the industry. Grant said that the making of the Seafarers Memorial became much more than an exciting commission, and that it took on a personal perspective when local fishermen would come in off the wharf to check on progress. Grant worked in a large warehouse space provided by one of the local fishing industry plants, and he said the fishermen would tell him their stories. One even modelled for him from time to time. Fishing is not an easy vocation, and Grant has a huge respect for these fishermen. He says whenever there is a storm now, he thinks of those ships out in all weathers. The sailor Grant depicts is scanning the way ahead, and from his expression you get the sense that the way forward is going to be a challenging one. This is echoed by the angle of the bridge, which vividly captures, particularly if you've ever been in a turbulent sea, the skill that is required in mastering an unforgiving sea. The figure was cast using the lost wax process. The sturdy bronze column base was cast in sand. Grant has depicted various species of fish caught by local fisheries. The column height and size gives a pleasing sense of the fathoms below the boat, where the fish swim at home and the calmer depths of the ocean. A moving poem by the poet Jeff Waring is found on the column, and it touches on the challenges of the sea and the effects of the loss of any sailor on their friends and family. The Sunderland Marine Pier was especially created to house the artwork and provide a pleasant place to sit and reflect. It was funded by the Seafarers Memorial Trust. It is now a favourite spot for fishermen of all ages, and also a lovely place to watch the commercial fishing boats come and go from the busy Nelson port. Small recreational craft are also seen in abundance, as a predictable afternoon sea breeze here, and the added incentive of coming home with a bag of juicy scallops attracts many out to sea. Nearby, towards the yacht club, the Neptune War Memorial, number 9 on your map, is tucked into the garden to the right of the pier. The HMS Neptune sank in December 1941 with the loss of all but one of her ship's company after the ship ran into a minefield off the coast of Libya. Four Nelson men were among the 150 New Zealanders who died that day. The sole survivor, Norman Walton, flew to New Zealand in 1991 to meet the friends and families of former shipmates and unveil this memorial in Nelson. A memorial yacht race, the Neptune Cup, was held by the Nelson Yacht Club for many years and continues today. Always a highly social affair, Return Services members team up with Yacht Club members for a fun event, with teams competing for the coveted Silver Cup. Across the road from the Nelson Yacht Club is a large blue building called Haven Apartments, and our last artwork included in this walk sits in the front courtyard and is easily visible from the footpath. Michael McMillan's work, Evolution, number 10 on your map, is a 2.5-ton water feature incorporating stone, copper, stainless steel, ceramics and polished aggregate. A fourth-generation sculptor and potter, Michael McMillan has been working in clay for over 30 years, and it is through this medium that he first explored creating large sculptures. Michael started to cast bronze at the age of 18 and held his first exhibition 2 years later when he was selected for Wellington's prestigious New Faces exhibition. From 1988 to 1989, Michael further developed his skills and continued to produce limited edition bronze sculptures. Since that time, he has explored larger sculptural forms using concrete aggregate as his primary medium. The larger sculptures are produced by developing an iron armature onto which aggregate is applied. Once the primary form is achieved, the aggregate is then polished smooth, cutting back the surface by hand and by diamond tools to reveal the various colours and textures within. Michael created Evolution in 2002, and it has a sensuous beauty, which is enhanced by the water flowing over the work and making it glisten invitingly under the hot Nelson sun. We have now completed our walk. To return to the information centre and your starting point, retrace your steps towards the Custom House, where there is a bus stop, or stroll back to the city the way you came. We hope you have enjoyed the Waterfront Art Walk. For more walking trails around Nelson, go to the Nelson City Council website, www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz, and use the search phrase Heritage Walks, or simply contact the Arts and Heritage Advisor at Nelson City Council.